to the one who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we are healed. See, Christ left us an example. And before I make this point, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul writes here, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the Spirit sets its desire against, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy and drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. But those who have belonged to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." So did Jesus mention in 1 Peter that Jesus left an example for him to follow, who committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth? Did he not commit sin because he focused on not committing sin? No. He didn't commit sin because he focused on himself on what God wanted. He aligned his will with what God wanted. See, Dodie mentioned last night that he prayed three times to God, but it was only if God's will. It was God's will. Turn back to John chapter 3. Now, in fulfilling the righteousness of the law, it's important where we picture ourselves. It's important how we view ourselves. You know, there's an example of a guy I know that he's been immersed and stuff, but he just can't get over the bottle. He got over it, but he kept going back. But the thing is that we can't focus on that. We have to picture ourselves. We can't picture ourselves as, "I'm just this worthless sinner." You know, when I wrestled, you didn't have to go to school to wrestle AAU, and so you always kind of knew the tough kid, okay? You knew who the guy was. And so if you had in your mind that, you know, this kid's, you know, however many state champion, whatever, I'm just not going to beat him. If you had that in your mind, it was pretty evident that that's what I've done it a couple times, I lost. But if you had in your mind, the kids that I had beat before, I had confidence that I had beat him before. And I went out and wrestled how I needed to wrestle to win. Okay? So picturing yourself as this sinner that's just getting drug along here. And that's the other idea that people have, the idea that salvation is we're punching our ticket. Okay? Which, to a certain extent, that's true. But their idea is, "Oh, I've punched my ticket, and I can just keep going on with my life. And then when I get to heaven, I'm going to put on the robe, the white robe." But when we put on the white robe, it's when we become new creatures, right? When we clothe ourselves with Christ. Yeah, that's the different picture is that if they think we're just on this earth and then up to heaven, we can, you know, that's when we'll be doing God's things. But the picture here that they that Jesus says, and again, this translated bad in the New American Standard says born again, but that Greek word means from above, period. Even if you go verse 31 of John chapter 3, it says, for he who comes from above, that's the same Greek word used in verse 3 and verse 7. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is on the earth is from the earth. He speaks of the earth, and he who comes from heaven is above all. Now, John here is talking about him compared to Jesus here. So Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then again in verse 7, do not marvel that I say you must be born from above. You know, we're not born, you know, I'm a citizen of the United States because I was born here, physically. But we're citizens of heaven because we were born there. Okay? It's not that we're going to get to heaven and be citizens of heaven. We're citizens of heaven now. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 5, says, even when you were dead in your transgressions, made us alive together with him, with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and he raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly places. Raised and seated are both past tense. It's not will raise and will seat. It's raised and seated. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Now, notice that just before this in chapter 2, Paul talks about that we are buried with Christ in immersion. We are raised up to walk in newness of life. We're raised up with him through faith. And then he continues on verse chapter 3, verse 1. He says, if then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with God in Christ, or Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Now, I understand, you know, we have things. I mean, we all have jobs. I mean, you know, we have to make decisions. You know what, at our place, you know, I make about a fourth of the decisions, and my dad makes about a fourth, and my brother makes about half. He probably wouldn't say the same thing if he was up here. But we all have jobs, we all have responsibilities to do, but our focus can't just be on how am I going to make it better here. Our focus has to still be from on above. If we've been raised up and seated, raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Turn back to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Jesus talking about this living water here. But in verse 13, he says, Jesus answered her and said, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, Paul writes here, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. It's just like, you know, forgiveness of sins is important. And receiving the Holy Spirit is important, but it doesn't just stop with receiving the Holy Spirit, does it? Since we live in, since we are in the Spirit, let's walk by the Spirit. The one who sows of the flesh is going to reap corruption. But the one who sows of the Spirit will reap eternal life. That living water within us that flows up, that's that well springing up to eternal life. Turn back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll start off in verse 3 again here. It says, "For with the law, by the letter, what the law could not do, weak as it was, through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are of the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. And if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who indwells you." See, we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man to walk according to the Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, it's not possible. With the Holy Spirit, we can. He's our helper. If you keep reading in chapter 8 there, it says, "So then, brethren..." Verse 12, "We are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God." The Son of God is born of the Spirit and led by the Spirit. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting verse 8, says, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in view with the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Excuse me. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, I count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own received from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, not that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained it and have already become perfect, but press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I have laid hold of by Christ." Now, I'm sure that everybody is, whoever the sinners saved by grace will come to this verse and stop here at verse 14. Okay, or verse 12. You know, not that I become perfect. Okay, but what perfect he's talking about here is that resurrected body. Okay, so that's the first thing he talks about there that Paul, he said, I have not obtained that yet, and we have not obtained that yet. But then he says in verse 13, if you continue on there, he says, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal of the prize of the upward calling in God in Christ Jesus. Okay, so what Paul did, see, compared to the law, did the law cleanse the conscience? No. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4 says that. Is that they couldn't be clean in conscience, they couldn't be perfected in conscience because there was a reminder of sins year after year. But what Paul has here, because of our sins have been forgiven and we received the indwelling Holy Spirit, he said, we can forget what lies behind. We can forget those things that haunt us. I think it was mentioned today. Because our conscience is clean. And then he goes on in verse 15, he says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if any of you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you also. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. It's kind of funny that the word for perfect in verse 12 is perfect, but the word for perfect in verse 15 is mature. That's what people say anyway. But Paul says, let all of us who are perfect have this attitude. Now, he wasn't talking about being perfect through the law. He was talking about being perfect through Christ, by having the Holy Spirit, by fulfilling the righteousness of the law. Because you couldn't fulfill the letter. And because we can fulfill the right, just like Christ, because his focus was on the will of God, and in line his will with that, he didn't sin. Okay? But not sinning is not the focus. But something that comes from focusing on the will of God. Now, as mentioned before, better hurry up here. Today, of the being confident. Now, in Colossians 1, where we read before about the Holy Spirit is the hope of glory, that word for hope would I think, be better translated confidence of glory. Okay? The Holy Spirit is the confidence of glory. Now, there was a good friend I knew that had died this last year. And, you know, me and my brother were with him when he died. And there was, I was sitting right next to him. And it was a pretty surprise deal. And just before I start, he was a saint. But, it was kind of a surprising deal. I mean, we knew it was coming. But it wasn't quite expected then. Anyway, when he died, sitting right next to him, there was a look that he had in his face. And I had seen it before because he had had shoulder surgery. Okay, and when he was going to rehab, he said that the nurses there always were a little bit thinking he pushed himself too hard. But when he would stretch his arm out, he gritted his teeth. And it wasn't that he was scared of the pain, but he was wanting to get through the pain because getting through the pain was the reward on the other side. Now, when I mentioned the look that I saw on his face when, you know, when he had died. One had mentioned, one had said to me, oh, he probably was scared. And, you know, I got thinking about it, and I made sure when I did his funeral to make the point that, he wasn't scared. Okay? It was the same look that he had, that, hey, I'm going to get through this. Because he had the hope of glory. That Holy Spirit that seals us. That's that confidence of glory. Now, he is... It's more than just being indwelt with the Holy Spirit. It's being led by the Holy Spirit. But he is that, he is our helper and he is our sealer for the day of redemption. He seals us. When God comes back, when Christ comes back, the thing that he is going to look for, I mean, it's not going to be forgiveness of sins, even though that was a part of it. But what's it going to be? Holy Spirit. That's what he's looking for. And, you know, there are those, and we all know them, who have been indwelt with the Holy Spirit, but didn't walk by the Holy Spirit, and therefore quenched the Holy Spirit. It doesn't just end with being indwelt with the Holy Spirit. To fulfill the righteousness of the law, it's been made possible because Christ condemned sin in the flesh. He was an offering for us so that in order that the righteousness of the law could be fulfilled in us, the church, the saints, we can fulfill that righteousness of the law by walking according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. It's not sitting here like the law that kills, but the Spirit is the Spirit that gives life.